So, without further ado, the first thing that I do when I begin the process of drafting a non-compete agreement is to talk with the client, if they'll give me the time of day, and speak with them about the pros and cons of using non-compete agreements in their employment situation. What I lay out for them is to say, look, there are certainly some benefits of these types of restrictions, but there are also some costs to them. Clearly, the benefits of drafting or using non-competes in your workplace are, number one, you're going to deter your employees from joining a competitor. And really what you're looking for there is sort of a prophylactic idea of in advance suggesting to them, because they've signed the non-compete, that they shouldn't even give consideration to joining a competitor. So that would be, to me, the most important reason to have these agreements is not that you will actually have to use them to enforce them, but rather to encourage your folks to stay on staff and not look for jobs elsewhere. The second reason that you might want to use these is because if your competitors begin to know that you are a religious user of non-compete agreements, then they may be deterred from hiring your employees, or at least give pause and carefully consider whether or not bringing that new employee into their workplace poses some kind of litigation risk to them. So again, it's this deterrent effect is what you're looking for as a positive benefit from using non-compete agreements. The third reason is, as I say here on the slide, it's a prophylactic for protecting your confidential information and trade secrets. And really what I mean by that is, you know by now, if you know anything about non-competes in Texas, that you can't have a naked non-compete. You can't pay for a non-compete in Texas. You can't say, here's $100, here's $1,000, or even $100,000, please sign the non-compete. Instead, you have to tie that non-compete to some protectable interest, which we'll talk about in a few moments.